B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome into Checkpoint XP Daily for Thursday, August 29th, 2019, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on WWKB 1520 in Buffalo and ESPN Radio 97.7, 100.1, and 1200 AM in Syracuse, New York. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, 100 Thieves has decided to pass on the Call of Duty World League. Plus, we're going to talk the 15 best dogs in all of gaming.
Hell, you laugh, but this is great. The goodest boys.
But we start today with Telltale. The studio was shut down a number of months ago, and it looks like it might be making a comeback.
Well, I mean, yes and no. The naming rights and a majority of their properties have been bought out by two gentlemen who previously had no affiliation with Telltale whatsoever.
Right. They're with LCG Entertainment, I believe it is.
Yeah. You have one guy who worked in mobile licensing development, another one who worked in outsourcing company and physics software maker. And according to Kotaku, the money for this venture is coming from a publisher called Athlon Games, a subsidiary of the Chinese video game holding company Leiyu, as well as a group of executives who have worked for game publishers like Rebellion and Starbreeze.
Okay.
So there are not a lot of people who are happy about this, by the way.
Well, because I didn't hear a lot of people that were involved with Telltale.
That's right. Yeah. And in fact, the only sort of news one way or another that we have on that front is that Jamie Adelaide, which is one of the guys who had bought it, says that some workers from the original Telltale games will be offered freelance roles with full-time positions possible in the future.
Well, and here's
sounds like a really poor promise. Like, that sounds
it
like...
It does.
Like, that sounds like an easy-to-break promise.
Yeah.
What it sounds like to me.
It does, but forgive me for not, you know, being the cynical one here, but the thing is that who else offered to do anything like this? And, you know, for as much as I agree that the whole freelance contract thing is pretty whack, I still, at the same time, you know, wonder about, you know, Telltale still owned a lot of licenses for games and series that were really good. I mean, is there any word on any of the IPs that they'll be able to work on still?
They've mentioned that they do plan on reselling some of Telltale's old games. They also mentioned, too, that going forward, that they want to bring back, like, what you know of Telltale games, but they want to increase the pacing of it and make them bingeable.
Interesting.
Which to me sounds like what they want to do. And actually there was a tweet from Random User. I unfortunately don't remember his username, but he basically said, so you want to make these episodic games that are no longer episodic. That's just a normal game.
Right. Yeah, that sounds like you've described the better part of game development for the last 20 years.
Yeah, this is a really confusing move because this really only seems to be Telltale in name only.
That's right.
Right? So if you only have Telltale in name only, you know, part of the reason people connected to Telltale games was because they had quality. They were very good games. They told great stories. Even if mechanically they weren't, you know,
everything that you want them to be,
up to your AAA action game level standards.
Well, but they weren't made to be that.
They still had an incredible emotional heart, and I worry that this is going to be the same. This is going to have the same effect that gutting Infinity Ward did, where you saw
BioWare anyone
exactly, where you saw a precipitous drop off in the quality of games that were being produced.
Yeah, I appreciate you. You know, you trying to be a little bit positive here for us, Norris. But I mean, if the industry has taught us anything, it's that the name of a company isn't what makes it. The developers, the people that are there, that are actually making the games and laboring on those games, those are what makes a company.
No, without a doubt. And I completely agree with you. It's just, you know, to get some of that talent back, somebody was going to have to, in my opinion, bring that name back. You weren't going to get a Telltale style game from another studio.
Why not?
I don't
Telltale is gone, though.
Dude, I don't see, first of all, you don't see a glut of studios trying to make that sort of game outside of very, very small studios that already exist. But that Telltale talent hadn't gone to those studios.
Yeah, but the Telltale talent isn't necessarily going here either. It's not a guarantee. They're like, oh, we'll give you freelance positions.
Yeah, it should also be noted, too,
show you the door 7 months later. You know that's going to happen.
That the new studio is located 400 miles from the old studio. So even if you want some of that old Telltale talent, if they haven't already found jobs by now, because I hope that they have, who's moving 400 miles for a freelance position?
Yeah, to me, this is just a very cynical move to try to capitalize on the cachet that Telltale as a company wielded in the time that they were making games. To me, I think the smarter move here would have been to start an entirely new company. Buy Telltale, buy the rights to the IPs that they made, and announce that you're going to try to continue the legacy of Telltale. This seems a little bit more like beating a dead horse.
No, I totally agree, and I think that would have been a better way to go about it, but at the same time,
it would have been more honest.
It would have been more honest, but I still think that there's a gang of consumers who... that they're not going to go that far. They're going to see, oh, Telltale games are back. I like the Telltale games, and therefore I will spend money on whatever
these,
it is.
That's what these cynical jerks are kind of banking on.
But we can't call them jerks until we see what they've made. We can't go out on a limb and say they're jerks before we've seen what they've made.
These lazy people.
I will tell you this, though. The majority of the response from the gaming community seems to be similar to what you're saying right now, Nate. They're looking at it and saying, but you're not Telltale.
You're not Telltale. Exactly. You're not Telltale. You're only paying lip service to the legacy of Telltale. This is if you were going to be more honest, then you would rename the company. You would completely start from square one. And even if you bought the IPs and worked on the IPs, that's way more honest than going, oh, well, there's just going to be some people that never knew that Telltale was even gone. And to me, that's a really stupid move.
I feel like the silver lining in this, if anything, is that we'll be able to have access to some games again that we had kind of lost access to.
True.
If I'm reading this correctly, they had the back catalog rights still to The Wolf Among Us and Batman, which were both great. So I'm hopeful that we'll be able to, you know, access those games once again. Those were really good.
Well,
because one of the biggest heartbreakers when Telltale went under was that was just kind of it. If you hadn't played one of those games yet,
you never got another chance.
It was just gone.
Well, personally, I'm glad that I bought those games before this happened, so I'm not funneling money into what was once Telltale games.
This really does feel like a parasite inhabiting the corpse of Telltale.
You know, it's a little bit more like the Walking Dead games they once made than you'd like to admit.
Oh, man. There you go. It comes full circle.
Yeah.
We want to hear from you. What do you think of Telltale allegedly being resurrected? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP, we're going to break down the 15 best doggos in all of gaming.
It might be the best segment we ever do.
That conversation will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily, but next, 100 Thieves has officially passed on the Call of Duty World League. What does this do to their cachet? We're going to talk about that next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
100 Thieves, one of the newer players and more powerful players in the esports arena, is officially passing on the Call of Duty World League. Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on the heartbeat of East Texas, 104.3 in Carthage and 103.9 in Marshall, as well as 1250 ESPN San Antonio and the Zone 1150. Checkpoint XP Daily is now a part of the BPod Network at BPodStudios.com. For more great listening options like Inside the Ropes, a weekly look inside wrestling and the WWE, and Talk and Rock with Meltdown, an interview and music news podcast, then go to BPodStudios.com. The place to be for podcast discovery. 100 Thieves has decided that the Call of Duty World League is not for them, which is pretty surprising because you would think that any league being put on by Activision Blizzard is probably going to be one of the more sought after spots that an esports organization can get. Well, and Call of Duty has been a highly competitive game for the better part of 10 years.
Of which 100 Thieves has been one of the top performers in.
Well, especially this year. I mean, 100 Thieves has performed very well in Call of Duty. They did not end up winning the World Championship, but they were very competitive all the way to the end of it. I'm shocked to hear that Call of Duty, or that 100 Thieves isn't going to be participating. Nade Shot, their owner, messaged out, 100 Thieves will not be a part of competitive Call of Duty next year. We will not be a part of the CDL. We will not have a team competing for our brand, and I wouldn't say this is the end, but we will not be fielding a roster. That is shocking for a team that successful, and I mean, They got Rocket Mortgage money behind them, don't they? Am I crazy?
But I'm going to tell you why it's not shocking. Because you have the CWL that's being positioned to be the sister league to the Overwatch League.
And so
100 Thieves, by not being involved in the Overwatch League, would have had to have a home base that has been built bespoke for just Call of Duty League.
Right, because we do know that the CWL is looking to have a similar road schedule to the OWL.
Exactly, yes. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe it is Twin Cities and I think one other town that have been the standalone CWL locations. Every other location has been a sister organization to whatever Overwatch League is in that town.
Yes.
So I think while it is shocking, pending how it's shocking because of how well they did this season, it also makes sense financially for them to say, all right, for this season we need to take a backseat.
It reminds me when League of Legends went to the franchise model and a team like Immortals did not end up participating in it. I mean, this was a different situation. They very much wanted to, but Immortals, despite, you know, being at Worlds that very year, does not get a slot in the League of Legends franchise. This, to me, kind of feels like that same thing. Just because you're good at a game does not mean you're able to commit to, you know, something like this. And I mean, Nate Shot says it. The fact of the matter is the CDL is incredibly expensive.
Yes.
Not only are there a lot of upfront costs, but there are a ton of operational costs that we'll be spending money on and resources on for years. And I think what they're kind of hitting on there is that, yes, you have to have somewhere to host home games, which for many teams in the Overwatch League, they already kind of have that by virtue of being an Overwatch League. It makes sense to double up into another league.
Absolutely.
With League of Legends, you don't have that necessary cost. You go out and compete in Los Angeles with everyone else. You need training facilities.
Sure.
But that's way different than having to be able to host a venue where you can bring in fans.
And to be perfectly honest, I actually want to commend 100 Thieves and Nadeshot for this because I think it is sound for their organization. As much as I want to see 100 Thieves participating in CWL, I also don't want to see this team fold because they can't handle the burden financially.
You know, more than the team, I don't know that, you know, even if they didn't see the returns that they wanted to, I don't know that it would necessarily fold the team. But I think that they're doing a bit of future casting, looking at what the potential of the CWL and not seeing the returns that participation in something like the OWL would be able to give them.
You know, the other half of this too is that much like what we saw with Overwatch League, 100 Thieves would have to rebrand if they wanted to enter the CDL. Mm-hmm. They would not be able to take 100 Thieves branding, have spent the better part of 2 years now really establishing that brand, and they've done a very good job of it.
There's definitely a much bigger risk here for 100 Thieves compared to some of the other organizations by trying to jump in at this particular point.
Right, like how much is, like, you know, it'll say the Valiant. If the Valiant want to get in and compete in Call of Duty, how much do they really have to risk? They could probably extend their branding that they have in Overwatch League into Call of Duty. I don't know that for sure. I'm speculating.
But they
could
make it
case.
Holistic. You exactly. know, it could just be the LA Valiant CWL.
Exactly. So I don't know. I think it. I don't know that this says as much against Call of Duty as I initially thought. Initially, I saw the story. I'm like, oh, maybe that speaks to some of the greater problems that Call of Duty presents, because I don't know that Call of Duty has. Well, I think it has staying power as a franchise and as a brand. I don't know if it does as an esport.
I think it's definitely got some challenges as an organized esport, especially when you, like, I think the biggest problem that it has is that it's been around for so long that it feels like it should be way more prestigious than it is.
And yeah. Do you think that problem lies in the fact that the game changes every other year?
Yes. I think that that is a big problem with it, because if you don't continually go back and adjust, balance, and add things, then I don't know how you have a continually shifting meta outside of a whole new game coming out. It's the same problem that your Maddens have.
Right. Now, this article, it doesn't explicitly say that his players are going to be released, but the way he phrases it leads me to believe his players will probably be released, and that's probably the right move to give them a chance to sign with a team that will be competing.
Sure.
I think that's probably the right thing to do. It is kind of a bummer, though. A team that has done this well, although I suppose we probably won't. Some team is going to scoop them up as well as they've done this year, I would imagine.
I would imagine.
No problem finding a new home.
I don't think that they're quite in the same spot that, say, players coming off of Echo Fox in the LCS are going to be at, because that's not only an organization that has collapsed under the weight of, you know, some very complicated and complex legal dealings,
right,
but they also were dead last in the LCS. So I don't think that there's going to be a lot of teams falling all over themselves to be able to pick up that talent. On the other side of that,
right,
100 Thieves is a completely different story, because they had such a good year.
Yeah, the burden is definitely going to be on the Echo Fox players to basically prove that, like, hey, we played poorly this year because of the weird circumstances we were forced to play under, but they're going to have to prove that.
Totally. Yeah, it's definitely a very complicated situation, but you know what? We want to hear from you. What do you think? What do you think about 100 Thieves not opting in for the CWL? Do you think that this is a big deal? Does it speak volumes about the Call of Duty esports scene? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily, we're gonna count down the 15 best dogs in all of gaming. Stick around. That conversation is ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Can you name the 15 best dogs in all of gaming? Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on ESPN Central Texas, KZRI and KTON in Waco, Texas, as well as ESPN 97.5 in Houston. You've been asking for it, and it's finally here. Checkpoint XP merch is officially available. We've got shirts, hats, hoodies, and mugs for Checkpoint XP and Low Team Damage, and much more coming soon. Check it out over at CheckpointXP.com/shop. Today's list comes to us courtesy of Esquire and is the 15 best doggos in all of video games.
You know, I love doggos.
Because when you think gaming opinions, you think Esquire.
that was a bit surprising, I will admit. Yes.
But overall,
I mean, this, you are talking about the network that overtook G4.
That's true.
Once G4 finally gave up the ghost of showing old cops episodes.
That's true. All right, so yeah, we've got the top 15 doggos of all time in gaming. I'm going to let you guys take some guesses and see how you guys do.
I'll take a number one guess.
You got a guess?
I'm going for a steal, dog meat.
Oh, I hate you.
Dog meat is number 11.
Yeah, I believe it.
In a game centered around isolation, loneliness, and survival, there's no better companion.
I'm going to go for another steal. Say Angelo FF8.
Ooh. Oh,
look at Robbie being a
scumbag. That's a pretty good one. That's
Angelo
a pretty good
from FF8 is number 2 on this
number
list.
Number 2? I mean, you shot him out of an arm cannon.
Yes, her full name is Sant'Angelo di Roma. I did not know that.
I didn't know that either.
No idea. She's a fan favorite, and yes, number 2 on this list.
Nate's
wow. See, now I'm left. I am actually in a difficult position because I don't know. The only dog I knew I could name off the top of my head was dog meat.
Yeah. You could think of one.
I'm afraid I've done all my options now.
FF6.
See, now here's the thing. I'm coming up with nothing.
Interceptor.
Interceptor. No, Interceptor is not on this
That's
list.
That's whack.
I know, right?
Wow.
I got another guess.
Oh, okay.
Well, hold on, we're going around the table. Just because Nate doesn't have any doesn't mean
Robbie,
that I ain't got any.
Well, Nate's out of the game.
All right.
They just want to keep it going.
All right,
okay.
All right. This might be a little bit of a weird one here. Yeah. Right, but I'm gonna go Chain Chomp.
I guess that is technically a dog, but
kinda.
Not on this
Aww.
List.
What about Diamond Dog from Metal Gear Solid?
Was it DD? D-Dog, Metal D-Dog. Gear 5, a grizzled eye patch wearing dog that kicks major ass.
Yes.
Nice.
I'm okay with this.
That is on this list at number 8.
I stand with D-Dog.
Yeah, D-Dog, for
All
sure.
Right, I got another guess.
Okay.
Poppy from Samurai Showdown.
Oh, not on this list.
Whack!
I'm sorry.
This list is whack!
Now, wait a minute. Okay. All right. I don't know if this is technically a dog, but I do think it's a wolf. So in the same family, Okami.
Good answer.
No, wrong, because that dog's is not named Okami. That's Amaterasu.
Well, neither Amaterasu or Okami is on this list. Now that said, I do appreciate Robbie's family feud.
Good answer.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Okay, I got another weird one.
All right.
In Wolfenstein, there's the giant mechanized robo dog with like the Gatling gun and the flamethrower on it. That was the goodest boy, let me tell you what.
Well, not on this list. It's not.
Oh man.
That goodest boy
How,
is not
You
here.
Are coming up with dogs that I don't...
They're like barely dogs.
Close enough.
All right, I'm going to give you one off here. Let's see. Let's go down to number 5. One I can't believe didn't get said. Duck Hunt Dog.
Oh yeah.
You didn't give us enough time. I was getting there.
I got one.
You got one? All right.
Rush from Mega Man.
Oh, yeah.
Number 4 on this list is Rush from Mega Man. No list of gamer dogs would be complete without Mega Man's trusty buddy.
Was there a dog character in Animal Crossing? I didn't play it, so I wouldn't be able to like name
there
him.
There was, and there is an Animal Crossing on here.
Oh,
okay. Yeah. Well, you might as well just give it to us because none of us are going to guess it.
Yeah, no one knows the character, so
Isabelle.
Oh,
and they also
Oh wait, okay. No, hold on. If that's counting, Parappa the Rapper.
Oh,
Parappa the Rapper is number 13.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
bravo!
And that by the way, I note that the Isabelle one is also combo with KK Slider, who is also a dog.
Oh, okay.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. We're currently going through a list from Esquire of the 15 best dogs in all of video games. It looks like Norris. Did you have a thought?
General Pepper from Star Fox.
No. However, there is a Star Fox character on here.
Ooh. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. I'll let you think about it. It is not one of the 4 you play as.
I know.
It's not Wolf, is it?
It is not Wolf.
Okay, I was going to say.
It is a dog.
Is it from Star Fox Adventures?
It's in 64.
It's in 64?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my
God. I don't know, man.
It is Bill.
Bill!
The character shows up in the
Bill!
Third level. Yep.
Oh, you know what?
Bill Gray.
I got one.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Growlithe / Arcanine.
Yes, I was going to go with Growlithe.
I'm sitting here like there's got to be other doggos out there.
Damn it.
Growlithe is number 3 on this
list. I was
going
to go with Growlithe.
Nice. Very good. Very good. I'm going to give you guys the number 1 because it's utter garbage. It's the worst thing ever I've seen in this list. It's Nintendog's Golden Retriever.
No!
Okay, yeah, that's whack.
No!
That's whack.
Come on. That's just, what? Come on. You whack. Can't. You can't just take a video game about dogs
and say they're the good dogs. Get out of here with that.
Yeah.
Get out
how
of
many,
here
how
that.
Many are we missing?
We need 15, 14, 10, 9, and 5.
Ooh, we need a few still then.
Yeah, yeah. That's more than a few.
Okay,
yeah.
Can you give us some hints?
Yeah, hints.
I'll give you guys... yikes. These are tough. We got a couple from the Mario universe. I'm not going to say a mainline Mario game.
Mario okay.
A couple from the Mario universe. Okay. We've got one from Silent Hill.
Oh,
That's the secret Silent Hill dog that runs everything.
I have no idea what that means. It just says Shiba Inu from Silent Hill.
Yeah. That's what that is. It's the secret ending. Yeah.
Yep. That's Shiba Inu from Silent Hill 2. That's number 14 on this list.
All right. Okay.
I'm going to give you guys this one because
like
it's Undertale
dogs,
and you'll never get it. Undertale, which was very much a dog game. There's dogs everywhere. Greater Dog from Undertale.
I knew that one, Joe. I should have got
up.
It. I'm
no,
sorry.
You didn't. You had no idea.
All right, so the ones we haven't got are from the Mario universe.
The Mario,
there's
Mario,
the Mario
universe.
Yep. It was a dog that wasn't Chain Chomp.
Correct. It's from the Greater Mario universe, and the other one's from Mother.
Mother.
Hmm. I'm not saying which Mother game, but it is from Mother.
Yeah. But this I might be stumped here.
Yeah.
Here we go. From Mother 3, we have Bony, Flint's trusty pet, the sweetest doggo there
never
is.
Never played Mother 3.
So. Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, then
most people in the United States have not
most
played Mother 3.
That's true.
Mother
like
3.
Earth haven't played
Number
Mother
10, three. The Polterpup from Luigi's Mansion.
Oh, get out of here.
That's stupid.
The Polterpup is great.
It is technically a part of the Mario universe, so your clue was...
No, it's clues.
Yeah, his clue is valid.
And number 9, the Undo Dog from Super Mario Maker.
I never play Mario Maker.
Yeah,
so
some of these. Yeah, come on.
Mm. What is the Undo Dog?
Here we go. The mischievous little pup may seem like a new canine to gaming, but he's actually been around for years now, making his debut all the way back in 1992 in Mario Paint. He was how he used to undo things in Mario Paint.
Oh.
Man, hold on. I'm looking up games with dogs in them.
That's really clever. I gotta say,
Poppy is better than so many of those dogs. He has a small katana in his mouth, and he cuts people, and when he comes down from the sky, he brings lightning with him. That's awesome.
How is the Dark Souls dog not in there?
That's a great question.
How is that not in there?
How did the Dark Souls dog not make that list?
Oh, man.
That's a great question.
All right, well, listen, we want to hear from you. Were you able to guess the 15 best doggos of all time in video games? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Thanks for joining us for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website, checkpointxp.com, for insight on esports and gaming, as well as a full archive of episodes, podcasts, and interviews. Join us Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern at twitch.tv/checkpointxp, although we will be off both tomorrow and Monday.
We will be.
For the holiday weekend. We will have something here on the channel for you, so make sure that you join us again 1 p.m. Eastern over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Brand management by Chad Callahan. And of course, my co-host who pulled double duty as producers for Checkpoint XP, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's A. Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.